a weak solidarity brekkie team listener when the unpatriotic, indeed treacherous, greed and selfishness of dole bludgers and pensioners was exposed yet again when they rejected little cuts to their exorbitant incomes when those cuts are needed to balance the budget so the government can undertake important reforms like tax cuts for the filthy rich and the great corporations who need the taxes they don't pay cut, meaning they'll be avoiding lower taxes, tax minimising lower taxes, which makes lots of sense, and the government and the filthy rich know those tax cuts will also benefit the myopic dole bludgers and pensioners. And the dole and pension cuts comprise only about 8 or 10% of the cost of the tax cuts, so the government will have to find even more cuts, highlighting even more, patently, alarmingly, how selfish the bludgers are. And thank goodness, the Socialist Party is happy to sit down with the caring business class party and work out the cuts required to achieve the all-important tax reform. They're not called the opposition for nothing. So they must be called it for something, although what that something is, we've got no idea. Even so, crying foul is the government desperate to find those savings by slashing the dole and the pension and programs that threaten the hegemony of fossil profits, that sort of public waste, but intent on honouring an election promise to great liberal thinkers Corey St. Bernardi and the gang to spend a couple of $100 billion to prevent the blasphemous abuse of Christian marriage between a man and a woman, crying foul that they need the law waived so they can offend and insult. We must have a level playing field, the true blue Aussie Christian lobbying vitriol bemoaned. How can we conduct a balanced and rational debate if we cannot insult and offend these unnatural, subhuman servants of Satan? A strong point by George. George, of course, one of the great liberal thinkers, Christian by commitment and Christian by name. George Christian, son of a man and a woman. And Corey knows allowing same-sex marriage would lead to bestiality, no doubt about it, and being a St. Bernardi, naturally he takes it seriously and nervously. Naturally over unnatural, and the bloody socialists look like knocking back the plebiscite, which is the only way to stave off the unnatural. And big Supremo Malcolm Turner Bull and Corey and George and all that lot say the socialists have no choice but to support the non-binding 200 mil or so plebiscite because they have a mandate. And we must congratulate all mainstream journalists. As an aside, congratulations to the media for the saturation coverage of the maiden speech, as they call it, of a Terranilius woman who spoke in her traditional language. Congratulate them for sensibly not asking or acknowledging that those who oppose the plebiscite received a mandate to oppose the plebiscite. But apparently, once a government is elected, everyone has to support everything it proposes. So how come we really have a 100% vote? And how come, given the socialists must respect the caring business class party's mandate, the caring business class party doesn't have to respect the caring business class party mandate on superannuation? Because Corey and George and the great liberal thinkers told Malcolm and economic guru Scuttle them more lash son, that mandate would hurt the filthy rich. And so the people got that one wrong, and Corey and George and the great liberal thinkers had to adjust the mandate, a non-core mandate apparently, so the filthy rich would get justice. And the socialists would be treating the true blue Aussie people with contempt if they did not support the non-mandate. And Malcolm said respecting the non-mandate showed he was a true democrat who consulted over decisions. So he consulted the true blue Aussie people. Certainly, you're not suggesting Corey and George and Erica Betts on the bosses aren't true blue Aussie people, are you? Corey and George and Eric did insert one rider into the issue of the mandate we must respect. We must respect that mandate if it is a mandate with a woman. But if it is a mandate with a man, then we must prevent bestiality wherever it raises its ugly head. We mentioned last week the little bald-headed bloke who used to be big supremo back in the last dark ages, whom they keep dredging up for invaluable national advice, advised the question of a treaty with the Terra Nullius people would be really divisive. It would divide the true blue Aussie community. It really would. And shows these blacks don't know their place. It really does. Well, in this week's dredging up, he advised that the right to offend and insult was essential if we are to save true marriage between a man and a woman. It really is. He also asserted women should know their place, which is in the kitchen. It really is. Then how come the vast majority of highly paid so-called celebrity chefs and chefs in obscenely expensive restaurants are men? There are kitchens and there are kitchens. Those kitchens are a man's place. They really are. On those he sent to slaughter on behalf of the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world, liberty, freedom and democracy, particularly the freedom of capital bit, and 15 years later, hasn't that worked out a treat? The True Blue Aussie Graduate School of Management is offering an $80,000 scholarship for past or present trained killers, designed, the school said, to encourage those who have proudly served our country to undertake a transformative professional experience that will complement their elite training. And it makes sense, for what better way to keep the workers in their place than a boss wandering around with an automatic rifle slung over her or his shoulder, although I'm prepared to bet there won't be too many hers getting the scholarship. Big super investment funds express concern that fewer than 10% of workers are putting extra into their super funds, about the same proportion as the super filthy rich versus the non-super filthy rich in the community generally. But wonder if they've considered there just might be a reason for the 90 or so percent letting the big investors down, not investing all that fortune they don't know what to do with at the end of the week from their outlandish wages which are crippling the economy, like there mightn't be a hell of a lot over at the end of the week to invest with the big investment funds. Then again, as the experts who know all about the greatest little economic order of them all keep telling us, slow wages growth is some sort of problem, and as we keep telling them, that's easily fixed. Doing their bit to maintain the slow wage growth bit, well, wage non-growth, BHP Billiton for bloody huge profits, the big non-true blue Aussie, which after a year of frustrated enterprise agreement discussions with coal unions in Queensland, Her Most Gracious Majesty's land, good lifting the world out of poverty coal, evil unions, frustrated because the workers apparently had overblown expectations like being paid and provided with crippling work conditions, crippling to the caring employer, that is, bloody huge peas made its final non-negotiable offer. A three-year wage freeze and reduced bonuses, superannuation, insurance payments and rent subsidies, an annual rent increase of $3,120 taken from the frozen wage. True listener, no embellishment. Bloody huge peas feels confident because it has contracted out many of the jobs to contractors undercutting wages and conditions. Not that there would be any sort of conspiracy between all these caring employers to undermine wages and conditions. It's just they need to unite against worker greed and evil union lawlessness. It happens so often, doesn't it, when an unrelated third party, an evil union, gets involved in the win-win relationship between caring employers and lazy, avaricious workers. Poor caring employers complaining that negotiations have dragged on and on and on. We have negotiated in good faith, but the union, which should not even be involved in this matter, won't take no for an answer. As we mentioned during the election campaign, it may be alleged Attorney General George Brandy's brain misled Parliament over directions concerning the Solicitor General. Watch this space, we said. Well, Parliament's back. It's a slow burn, but keep watching this space. Speaking of evil, no relationship to George, I was thinking of evil unions, how evil those non-Palestinian non-people are, threatening world peace from their non-country, a threat to liberty, freedom and democracy in the liberty, freedom and democracy-loving country that used to be their country and which they selfishly still claim is their country, ignoring the stroke of a British and its respectable partner's pen. So evil, the US arb has been forced to hand $50 billion over to poor peace-loving Zion for trained killing, showing what a threat those non-country, non-people are. But a true win-win this time, because the condition is Zion must spend the $50 billion with US arb merchants of death. Finally, in the US arb, former big supremo Ronnie Reagan's family were angered and distressed that John Hinckley, the bloke, sorry, guy, who shot at and injured their old man, is being released. They were devastated at such leniency, getting out after only 35 years. Then again, we might reckon he deserved 35 years for missing. Good morning.